This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's definitely feeling like the seasons are changing, that's for sure. What's happening? Good morning, Ben.
Hello.
Good morning, Sia.
Good morning.
Good morning to Mubs. She's somewhere. All right, what's happening, everybody? It's going down. Thank you for holding the fort yesterday.
Oh, you're welcome, Gareth.
Apologies to anyone who was trying to get our podcasts until sort of 10 a.m. yesterday morning because we were having massive internet problems. Sure. I've also had internet problems at home.
Yeah, it's been around. I mean, I had
know
it at
what's
home as
it's,
well.
It's catchy, obviously. You
There's
know,
obviously three various areas having this.
Yeah,
it's one of those. It's one of the shark bikes. That cable, that Seacom cable.
You think that's what it is?
You get these.
Wow, Ben. You know, you never fail to amuse me and fascinate me with your wealth of knowledge. Mm. So,
especially his conspiracy theories, the sharks.
Gareth, well, no, it's an informed opinion, of course.
Well, you get these sharks that are vehemently against pornography. They roam the Atlantic Ocean, just sort of.
Yeah, they're anti-porn sharks.
Yeah, just the top of Angola, top left up there.
That's also what you found out by watching Blue Planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an entire episode on it.
Okay.
And what they do is that they just take systematic bites on the sea cable.
Mm. And it works.
And then internet slows right down, and then they swim off into the distance again, smug as all hell, because nobody can watch porn.
Hmm. That's how, and apparently they're funded by charismatic churches in America.
Yep.
Ah.
So then they go back across the Atlantic, they eat shrimp for 3 months, and then they come back and do it again.
They get fed in Miami.
Oh.
Yeah, anything they want.
Okay, these are the anti-porn sharks.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
You didn't know.
They also go back to a harem of young seals, but I mean, they don't put that in the news.
No. And you know what? You're not going to find it on Google. This is the kind of stuff you only find out if you're really going to do the deep dive research.
So how did you guys find out about this?
Well, Ben told me.
If you keep watching Blue Planet, the final episode, past the credits, you wait 3 minutes and 27 seconds.
Like a Marvel movie, you need to wait after the credits. Okay, okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm hearing a horrible piece of news. I don't know whether this is true or not, but apparently Stephen Hawking died this morning. I don't know if we can confirm that or not, but that's what someone's saying on WhatsApp. I hate jumping to these conclusions.
Well, BBC News has now posted about it.
Okay, so it has. Mm.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson also
tweeted. Oh, man.
So,
yeah, 76.
Yes.
God, you know, I'm in such a science phase at the moment. I go through phases where I'm in love with music or history or art or science, and I really do bounce around a lot. I mean, it's part of kind of why I love living so much, is that I'm fascinated by all the different things that are going on in the world. I'm drawn to this stuff, and to hear this news, it upsets me. This guy was fantastic, this Stephen Hawking. So this is very bad news. Look, it was bound to happen. You know, he wasn't in the best of health. The guy was, if you watched that movie, and we interviewed his daughter.
Back in
not
October.
So long. Yeah, so a couple of months ago. And I asked her about him. And, you know, she said that despite his obvious physical, what would you call them, restrictions, mm-hmm. his inability to do pretty much 99% of what everyone else can do in a body, this guy was living a life. He had a sense of humor, and he was making improvements to his own theories and fine-tuning the science around all his great publications right till the end. So I'm very sad to hear that. Stephen Hawking died this morning by the sound of things. Someone says he's like the atheist Jesus Christ. I wouldn't say that.
Oh, jeez.
So there we go. There's some news that's come through this morning. First thing that you need to know, no more bullshit, no more bullshit, says Bev this morning. Yeah, she loves that. That's her favorite thing in the morning. Hey, Mabali Moloi.
Yo, yo.
Yeah, we'll check in with some more news in a minute or two, because that's just what's come through now. So
currently, everything is still being updated as we go. This is just released from a spokesperson of the family, the Hawking family,
mm-hmm.
and They say that he died at his home in Cambridge in the early hours of Wednesday. And the family have just said, we are deeply saddened that our beloved father passed away today. That's about it.
Sure. All right. Well, you know what? The guy made a huge difference to the way we understand the universe. And that is no small thing. You could say a lot about the people who come and go. But for someone who's improved our understanding of how the whole universe works, I think he's made his contribution to humanity. And he will go down as one of the great theoretical physicists of all time, without a doubt. He's the one who postulated and refined ideas like the event horizon, like black holes and what they could mean, time, space. I tried. I really did. I persevered with his book, A Brief History of Time. I picked it up. I read it. I thought, maybe I'm starting to get one or two of these things. I put it down. Start again. It would be like starting from scratch.
Oh.
I would make it to the end of the book. I'd go, I think I know what he meant. And then 5 seconds after I say that, it's gone. I had to go through it again.
Yeah.
And I just, I never was able to completely compute in my head what this guy had tried to explain to the rest of us. What a genius.
That is not something you read on a Saturday afternoon sitting in the sun.
You know, and if Stephen Hawking proves one thing, it's that we're not all equal. He might have had huge physical, what would you call them? It's kind of like he was trapped in his body. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't even speak without the aid of that computer. And the guy had the most brilliant brain of all. Now tell me about fairness, if that's what you got. If you had to choose, and I hate these kinds of questions, but I often get into conversations with people about them, and sometimes it's fun to just think about it. If you had to choose, like your body or your mind being incapacitated, which would it be?
Ooh. So tough.
Because if you lose your mind, it's sometimes fine for you, but everyone around you struggles. You know, like if people who have Alzheimer's, for example, they forget their kids and that sort of thing. They don't remember where they are. So it can be very frightening and anxious for them. But for their families, it's hard because they have to keep going, hey, you know, Mom, it's me. And if you lose your body first, then someone has to look after you. It's undignified. It's just a...
Yeah, it's a whole wiping your bottom thing again.
And also, I mean, how frustrating must that be after a life that you've lived where you could, in the beginning, you were fine. You know, it's not like being born blind and then you never see because you've never known what it's like to see. Imagine seeing and then going blind. Mm. You don't know what you got till it's gone, right? These kinds of questions I always think about when I think of someone like Stephen Hawking. Anyway, there's lots to talk about with him. There's lots of other stuff going on too. I got a really nice email from Dr. Liesel who says, hey, I need to thank you guys for getting up early every morning. Well, almost to be there for us. I can't imagine my mornings without you, and I get a panic attack every time Gareth mentions quitting what he's doing. Being a pediatrician, I understand a lack of sleep. As I'm typing this, I had a total of 2 hours of sleep last night and still worked a full day today. Found myself falling asleep in front of my computer waiting for the next patient many times today.
I still don't understand why people whose profession it is to save and heal get the least amount of sleep. Surely they need it the most. You know, doctors on call, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, why must they? Are there so few doctors that they have to work such long shifts?
But they should be paid so much that. But they many are paid people so want
much.
To
no,
be.
They're paid a lot.
No, but that many people want to be doctors so that many brilliant people go through the system, become doctors, and then there's an overflow.
Doctors are paid well.
And I'm pretty sure doctors in about 5 minutes can work out an optimum working period where they're at their best.
Yeah, but Ben and I were talking about this just now, Liesel. Maybe this is interesting to you. I heard a podcast the other day about how important sleep is. And I know that that's an area I could do a whole lot better in. And, you know, people tend to boast. They're like, oh, I only got 3 hours of sleep last night. Like, you're going to go.
It's not a badge of honor.
Exactly. And you're going to go, oh, you work so hard. You're such a hard worker. You sacrifice your sleep time. Well, that's just dumb. And I try. I really do. When I have a good night's sleep, I am so good the next day. So I know the advantages. I felt the advantages. It's amazing. But I wonder how many people listening to us live right now didn't get a good night's sleep last night. And that's when you have a momentary lapse of concentration. You know, you have a car accident. You
sure.
you forget to send someone an important email and you miss out on an important deal. You pitch up late for meetings. You know, things just go a little bit messy when you haven't had enough sleep because you're exhausted. Your body's saying to you, this is not what I can't work like this. I need, this is as important as fuel. Mm-hmm. And anyway, this podcast, the guy talks about how, and I'll try and remember the name of the guy who was talking in a minute, but he was saying that if you don't get more than 6 to 8 hours of sleep, well, the optimum time is 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. For most of us, there is this tiny percentage of people, I don't know, like 2-3% of people on Earth who can survive on 4 to 6 hours of sleep. But the rest of us, and I would assume all of us are in the rest of that group rather than one of us being exceptional, we need 6 to 8 hours of sleep. And if you don't get it, you may as well not exercise because that does you no good. You may as well not try to eat healthy because your body, you just binge into foods that you shouldn't because you're desperately hungry and you need the fuel. So it's a mess. You have to sleep properly. And I mean, for Dr. Liesel here, who sent me this email, to not be getting enough sleep, that's just crazy.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard a number of personal trainers and people from that field saying, you know, people trying to lose weight underestimate the role and importance that getting proper sleep plays in that entire process.
Well, that's what this guy was saying. He said, if you don't sleep properly for a couple of days, it's the equivalent to not doing any physical exercise for 2 months.
Whoa.
It's really bad. It's really, really bad. So sleeping is massively important. Anyway, she says, the reason for her email is, you once had a woman on who was in business helping young people their CVs and job seeking. I cannot for the life of me remember when it was or what her name was. Could you please share her details with me? Thank you. Love and Godspeed for early winter mornings ahead.
Just before you went away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she runs an...
Zimasa? Yes.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
The corporate canvas, that's what they're called.
All right, so look him up.
And her name is Zimasa, Z-I-M-A-S-A. You can get her podcast on the website.
Very nice. See? That's excellent. I'm so impressed. You go, I don't remember what I did yesterday. Oh, hang on. I was at a function yesterday. That's why I wasn't here. I was hosting a function for Debonairs as part of the Famous Brands Group. There's a lot of growth in that business, huh?
Oh,
it's unreal.
Because we know people love the fast food.
Well, particularly pizza. Pizza is the most addictive food in the world. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Based on?
Well, just the name is fun. There's two Z's in it.
Pizza. No, because people apparently are, when they're hungry and you give them a bunch of different options, they will usually go for the pizza option because it's just...
Cheese.
Yeah, it's nutrient poor and calorie rich. People love
when you put
them
it that
pizzas.
Way.
People love it. Yeah. I mean, I love pizza. Don't bullshit me. Who doesn't love a slice of New York style pizza? Come on. It's like the best thing in the world.
Cheese really is top two best things to eat, and it's not number two. Cheese, man. Yo.
Yeah.
Beats chocolate, beats all that stuff for me.
I need it cold the next day. I don't know why. I just prefer my pizza cold. But yeah, I get you.
Here's someone who says, I went to sleep last night, had a horrible night's sleep, got to bed at 8, been awake since 12. I know today is going to be a fuck up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, that's the worst part, right? That's the worst part is you lie in bed and you can't get to sleep and you're thinking, oh, tomorrow I'm going to be a disaster.
And you're then fine. Worrying about that doesn't let
you're
let
fine.
You
let's be fair about this. For the first 3 or 4 hours of your day, you're okay. And then you hit this wall. You just cannot do anything. You are useless. You start yawning. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in meetings. You're glazed over. I know it happens to me. So let's hope today isn't like that for you.
Oh, man.
It's already good like luck. That for me.
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, shame, Ben.
Looking to be tucked in after the sport here.
Suffering.
That's why Ariana Huffington speaks about sleep all the time.
She wrote a whole book about sleep and how important it was. And she only discovered sleep in her 50s, Ariana
says,
Huffington.
Sleep your way to the top.
Right. And she doesn't mean with anyone. Shit. I bought these new pillows for my bed the other day. They didn't cost a lot of money, but they're those memory foam pillows.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
They are fantastic.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Immediately improved my sleeping. Because I sleep. Are you on your stomach side or back sort of
you
person?
See, I feel like
all of.
Yeah,
all of. You just move around.
I sleep like I'm engaged in martial arts most nights.
No wonder you're single.
From
punching people and kicking them in your sleep.
That's not why I'm single.
Oh, okay.
I have no use for a relationship.
All right.
I just know like everyone has their own way to get
What's
about
yours?
The best sleep.
What kind of weird contorted positions are you in?
Not
sunburn.
To sound like an alcoholic, but I love a good glass of wine. Before I go to bed, it just mellows me out.
I'm not asking about that. I'm asking about what position you sleep in.
Before I...
Do you just pass out flat and face first into the bed after your seventh glass of wine?
I just... on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't even
half on the
bed
and half on the floor.
And then I always like a new set of PJs and then I'm good to sleep in one position. I just don't move. I don't know.
You're the opposite of Mubs then.
It's just weird.
She moves around a lot.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I don't move around a lot either. I don't really have a lot of space to move around a lot though.
Well, you've got Daniela and the cat.
Meowsers.
Yeah.
And so cats like to snuggle, right?
Yeah, but well, now all of a sudden, 14th of March, Meowsers is like getting to that semi-hibernation point where she literally like tackles you into either a couch or a bed if you're in the vicinity.
Oh, no.
Because she just wants, I mean, she's old, obviously. She likes sleeping. But yeah, I don't have a chance to move.
So you don't have a preferred sort of sleeping position?
No.
Because I can only sleep on my stomach.
On your
lie flat.
Do you like
down.
Do the starfish?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine that's very good for your neck though.
No.
Because you're going to have a dominant side. So you're going to have one
Correct.
Side.
I always turn my head to the...
Maybe that's left. Why you get the migraines then.
No, I haven't had them for a while, so let's not tempt fate.
Okay, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Get your hand out of pants here.
Oh,
how old are you again?
All right, a couple of things. Ben, what is your view on the Russian spy saga? Says Duncan.
Interesting, Duncan. We're going to talk about that in a bit.
Should the English snowflakes boycott the World Cup? Theresa May said that it was highly likely that the Russians were to blame. What the hell does that mean? That's Duncan.
Is that a sports team? The snowflakes?
Yeah, the snowflakes are taking on the Russian sausages in her.
I wish I knew
would
that
it,
in high
it,
school
it
when
take
I was called that.
Duncan, I was going to touch on it in the sport.
Michelle says, morning guys, I was chatting to one of the dudes that I work with who has shed a fortune of weight over the last few months. He said the biggest change wasn't the eating plan, but the fact that he gets 7 to 8 hours of sleep. I'm very jealous. I can remember a night... With uninterrupted, I can't rather remember a night with uninterrupted sleep, Michelle.
You know, you get those marriages that end up in single beds. I'm not saying start off in single beds, but I think a lot of people get to the point where, look, if we're not having sex, I want to sleep. And some people, I mean, you see it in a movie sometime as well, is that they have a dedicated single bed because they want 8 hours. They crave that like more than anything.
Yeah.
Well, I just feel bad for people who are light sleepers as well. You know, like if someone tossing and turning next to you.
And those people who wake up with any sound at all. I mean, I can usually sleep through. I sleep through quite a lot. I mean, if my alarm goes off, I sometimes miss that as well, as you well know. But I think it must be horrible to be a terribly light sleeper. Yeah. Because then every creak of a door, every rustle of the wind outside wakes you up. You can't have a proper night's sleep if that's how sensitive your ears or your senses are the whole way through. I don't know how those people manage. Anyway, all of this sparked by Dr. Liesl's message this morning. So good luck to you for today, being so tired. That's hectic.
2 hours of sleep.
It's tough as nails. All right, there's lots to talk about, but before we get into any of that stuff, let me remind you that we've just produced an awesome and immaculate pair of unwired earphones, which are available online only. They're available on cliffcentral.com. You can also go to takealot.com and buy them straight from button problems. You can buy them straight from Takealot. We've disrupted the content game by creating audio that we know you love, and now we're making it even more convenient for you to listen to us. With the limited edition Cliff Central unwired earphones, we've created wireless earphones that connect to any smartphone or laptop or tablet. You can listen to podcasts, music, videos, even phone calls. How long does the battery last? About 10 hours if you are careful. Built-in microphone, 3-button controller, ergonomic design, it won't fall out of your ears when you're exercising, plus brilliant sound and build quality. The Cliff Central unwired earphones are the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. And best of all, they're only 550 Rand. Discover more if you want to see what they look like or read some more of the specs. You can go to cliffcentral.com. And we had a very nice review yesterday in Stuff Magazine of our earphones. They said they liked them very much. They put under the plus column that you should actually buy two at that price. They say, for the quality that you're getting, it's worth buying two, keeping one in the car, keeping one in your bag. So I like that. And sure. And then they said that the only thing that they were worried about is that if you don't choose the right kind of pads for them, because there's I think there are two different options. They've even got the ones that,
there's three ear size settings.
Right. So you got to choose the one that works for you. Otherwise, they said that they slip out quite easily. So maybe for runners, you just have to be more circumspect about which little ear pads you choose to put on.
You also get this little rubber thing which goes into one of your ear crannies.
Right. It's got like a hook on it almost. Looks like a hook.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find that helps for my running.
There we go. You running?
Yeah, well, trying to get, you know, exercising daily.
Yeah, how's that going?
Yesterday, good. Yes. But then I had like 4 hours sleep, so... Yeah,
we're back on the sleep.
Taking that away again.
Someone said, can I use the earphones in the shower?
Well,
No, you shouldn't use it.
No, why?
Aren't they... Why would you... Listen.
Yes, why is the question.
You do get... I mean, you get some very nice speakers. Like, I've got this one with a... It's like a suction thing on the end, and you can put it in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And then it connects to Bluetooth to your phone.
Yeah, but why has anyone spend that long in a shower? Do people not understand that water should not be wasted at any stage?
Well, this is the person responsible for the Cape water crisis that actually messaged us. So can I buy the earphones with Bitcoin now on Takealot? Yes, you can if you go to Takealot. Can I have a free pair? I'm finally in Joburg, Gareth. Can I come to your studio just to observe you guys? Superfan Monwa. Yeah, you can come and watch us. I'm not giving you a free pair. It costs us money to make those things. I'm going to give you a free pair. What do you think this is? The EFF? You get a piece of land, you get a pair of earphones, you get a car. What is this? It's not the Oprah Winfrey show. Hey guys, my father-in-law is a state surgeon in Maritzburg. For a call, as it is termed, he starts work at 8 and comes back home the next day at 1. Over quiet times, he gets 4 hours of sleep. And in December, when there are snake bites and stabbings, etc., he gets zero. He's a 58-year-old man. Yes, sis.
That is a recipe for disaster.
That's going to end in tears.
And why are snakes so vicious in December?
It's because they come out of hiding, hibernation. That's when they're around.
Does that message say 8, is it 8 a.m. or 8?
8 a.m.
8 a.m. until 1 p.m.
The next day. That's just terrible. Terrible. I wouldn't want a doctor like that operating on me. He's a surgeon. I mean, he's going to make mistakes. It makes me very nervous. Emma says, morning, guys. I hear you're upgrading the app. Please, can you add an option to send a link for individual podcasts from the app itself?
Good idea.
Every week, I want to share the awesome and varied content with friends. I'm going to podcast websites. It has two issues. Number one, only iTunes or Apple people can access it. Number two, the link takes them to the list of podcasts and not the exact one, so they have no clue which episode I was recommending. Thank you very much, Emma. Good suggestion, absolutely. We will get onto that ASAP. P.S. Gareth, I can also only sleep on my stomach. This has caused neck and back issues and issues with my jaw. Madness. The physios told me to sleep with a clothes peg in front of my nightshirt, between the boobs. It ensures that you don't turn onto your belly at night. It's damn sore if you do.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Ugh.
How do you like that?
Well, Gareth, you give it a try.
I'm going to sleep with a clothes peg between my boobs.
Yeah, it was...
I don't know. Huh? Maybe you should move it further down your body.
Oh, I see what you mean, because that would also stop me from turning. Okay, well, I think it's time for us to find out what the five things are that you need to know today. We're about to start the day. Let's start it with Mabali Moloi.
All right, well, let's begin with Parliament's Public Enterprises Committee saying that they have now resolved to summons the Gupta brothers, Duduzani and Dudumieni, to appear before it. Problem is, they have to find some of these people first.
Yes.
So MPs have taken strong exception to letters that were sent to them by the committee saying the people they plan to summon are undermining the work of Parliament.
Well, these guys have no respect for you, Parliament. Get on with it. I mean, you know, do you really expect that everyone in the whole country thinks you're wonderful and that they respect you? These guys don't care. The Guptas... Dudumieni, I mean, Even Malusi Gigaba, who finally appeared yesterday, he was sick the other day. Sick. The whole country is waiting to hear how you handed everything in public enterprises to the Guptas on a platter, but you were sick. And Dudu Mieni, did you see her letter?
Mm-mm.
Oh, she said that the Parliament and the people who are calling for her to appear before Parliament have no respect for her dignity as a human being, that she's entitled to get well before she has to appear before them. Suddenly she's the world's most under-respected, misrepresented, and unhappy, unwell human being. That's her. That's Dudu Mieni thinks the world is up against her.
When she was spotted out having dinner.
Is that where she was last night?
That's an article I read the day before.
Huh.
That she was out.
Not surprised.
Well, you see, you've got to have a strategy because obviously you can't willingly hand yourself over or turn yourself in when you're being accused of having done wrong. No, that's insane. Which is why the Guptas' lawyers say that their clients won't be subjected to an inquiry as well as allegations which amount to nothing more than conjecture, speculation, and biased conclusions. You see, that is the problem with us, according to the Guptas' lawyers. We're biased.
And we're so stupid that if we've done something wrong, we'll go, oh, okay, you caught me. These guys never admit they were caught. I mean, how many billions of rands have actually moved in and out of accounts that we do know about? These guys, the lawyer says, oh no, it's just conjecture.
Yeah.
Well, pure speculation and rumor.
I mean, you know the rules. You're entitled to 2 billion per passport.
Today marks the 1 month anniversary of quite a big deal in our political space since the year started. 1 month anniversary. Big deal. Big
Cyril.
Big deal. It is linked to Cyril.
Oh, Jay-Z's off. He's been away for a month.
Exactly.
And we don't know what he's doing.
It was on Valentine's Day that the president stepped down from office. He resigned.
Yes.
And it's being reported that on the day that the former president, Jacob Zuma, resigned, AJ Gupta fled to his hometown in India to an unknown destination. According to Indian reporter Venkat Narayan, he says that Gupta was in the country when Zuma was forced to resign. And then when the news broke, he then very quickly made arrangements to get the fuck out.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know that Malusi Gigaba, who was in front of Parliament yesterday talking about how he didn't really intend to help the Guptas and how could he know if some of these directors were Gupta people, he has the power to revoke their passports. Including Dudu Zanes. And Dudu Zanes is a citizen of South Africa, so he has nowhere else to go. And if they revoke those people's passports, they cannot travel on those passports anymore. So, according to the Indian government, the Guptas are not Indian citizens.
Yes. They've washed their hands clean of the Guptas. They're saying, no, South Africa, these people are your problem because they are South African citizens.
So if they are South African citizens, then all we have to do to get them here to appear before Parliament is revoke their passports because then they can't travel anywhere. You know, every border that you go through, you're going to show your passport. Have to get it stamped so they'll have to come back.
This sounds quite simple, Gareth.
It does.
So if
Malusi Gigaba just revoked their passports, all three Gupta brothers and Dudu Zane, they'd have to come back.
Yeah, but then those debit orders might stop as well, though.
But if you're flying on your Canadian private jet plane that lands at Vatikloof, who are you handing your passport to then? Because
you just got a letter from Justin from Canada.
Yeah,
just says I like these guys. They're cool. They work.
If you're landing at Vatikloof, then I mean now maybe it's different. I don't know if Cyril's put new people in charge there, but you. I mean, any of us could have just landed at Waterkloof under the Jacob Zuma administration, I reckon. Oh, no, sorry. You'd have to be involved in business with Dupuzan.
Yeah, it's all about who you know.
Stupid of me.
So maybe on Monday you were, I don't know, at Northgate Mall. Maybe you were busy buying stuff for the home, and then all of a sudden you stumble on a woman giving birth, because that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
A baby boy who was born at Northgate Mall on Monday.
What, in the shopping mall? You're busy with a packet of frozen chips, and you have to walk. You have to step over the woman who's giving birth in the aisle.
You know, you're busy comparing prices of washing powder, and then all of a sudden, the mother unexpectedly went into labor. She was helped by security, who then called an ambulance. But I suppose that baby wasn't interested in waiting because, boop, he just popped out.
How do you not know you're about to give birth?
Because
does that happen often?
Well, I don't know if it happens often.
I could.
But it happens.
Of nothing worse.
It happens, you know.
You just have to sit down in the aisle and
well,
start
sometimes
squeezing.
It's an emergency delivery.
Yeah,
or something
emergency
goes wrong.
Labor. These things happen. I don't know how often, though.
That baby has a unique story to tell, to say the least. Oh, where were you born? No. Aisle number
shops.
7. Clean up on aisle
Which
7.
Which hospital are you from?
But I mean, like, what are they going to call the kid? Like, Accessorize? Checkers?
I hope it is not.
Stearns?
I hope it's not a member of my people, because, you know, they will just rope in some sort of name. Blondie, because they were born at the hair accessories aisle.
Okay. And then lastly, this WhatsApp feature that allows you to delete messages, right?
Yes, what is, I've seen people using that, especially on groups that I'm on. They'll send the wrong info or they'll change their mind about something, they send a message and then you'll see, this message has been deleted.
That's the
You see,
flaw,
that's
though.
The problem, though, is if I'm deleting a message, I don't want you to know that I've deleted the message.
Yes.
Ah.
Anyway, WhatsApp are now saying, because they used to allow you 7 minutes to delete the message, so you had 7 minutes to change your mind, and all they've done now is they've extended that feature to an hour. What? So it allows you to delete messages an hour after you sent them. This feature was introduced last year, and basically it just allows you to delete messages. But as I say, there has to be a way to override the other person knowing that you have deleted a message. If not, then they should do that.
Hmm. Yeah, you don't want people to know you deleted it. Otherwise, they're going to go, hey, what was that thing you deleted?
Yes.
Exactly.
And you have to scramble to find an explanation. It wasn't a dick pic. Definitely not. All right.
Anyway, yesterday, just to wrap it up, Sia told us about 6 inmates who had escaped from Polesmoor prison and how by yesterday 5 of them had been rearrested, while the 6th guy was also found. So all 6 of them back behind bars.
Thank you very much, Mubs. Those are the 5 things you need to know this morning. And in case you missed it, at 6 o'clock, we mentioned that Stephen Hawking died last night. So one of the guys in science who's really contributed extensively to our understanding of the universe passed away last night, and the family released a statement this morning. It's all we know so far. Here are your cryptocurrency bits and pieces. And a run I saw saying on Twitter this morning, do you think cryptocurrencies reached a bottom? And a lot of the votes were yes. From people who are like, oh, Jesus, please, can I have some of my money back? Let's look. Bitcoin is at $9,143. That's off a high, let's remember, in December when it was at $19,000. Now it's at $9,144. Ethereum is at $691. Also coming off a high not so long ago of somewhere in the $1,200 mark. Then we've got Ethereum Classic, which has dropped to $19.91. Bitcoin Cash at $1,039. Monero at $245.70. Those are most of the cryptocurrencies. There are, of course, thousands of them. So you can look up the rest, but that's the general trend. And, you know, when one goes down, the rest go down. So all of them at the moment looking like shit. Let's turn our attention to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Ben, what do you have for us today?
Well, Man United fans, you're out of the Champions League.
Aww. Yep.
Home game against Sevilla. All you have to do is win. And you lost 2-1. I say you because people take this so personally. There's going to be so many upset people today. Oh, Man United, how could they have done that? Well, they do have this ability to just go very limp.
Oh, yeah?
And if it's team selection, general impetus up front, whatever it is, they went very limp last night and they are gone. Roma are through as well, along with Sevilla. They beat Shakhtar Donetsk yesterday 1-0. So that's very exciting times for them. Tonight, you'll be able to see the Besiktas taking on Bayern Munich. That game is earlier than usual. That'll be at 7 o'clock. And
the Besiktas.
There was another game, but I just... Oh, damn it. There's another game, but it's not really that important. Otherwise, I would have remembered it.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
Ben doesn't care about the Besiktas.
No, I did. I told you all about the Besiktas. That game will be at 7. So watch the Besiktas, and if you finish watching that, I'm pretty sure they'll tell you what the other game is.
Okay.
See, there we go.
Everyone solved wins. Everyone's problems.
Speaking of Man United, Jose Mourinho, well, he's in a bit of bad press. I wouldn't say he's in trouble. He's a bit of bad press.
Uh-huh.
He'll be making about £1 million. Nice. How about this, huh? £1 million for 5 days' work as a TV pundit during the FIFA World Cup.
It's quite a lot of money.
The bad press comes in because it's for the RT, the Russian News Network people. So, some British MPs are coming out brazenly after this whole Russian spy thing.
So, explain what the Russian spy thing is, because I missed this whole saga.
Well, a sort of nerve poison, something rather, was given to an ex, well, a double agent. So, someone who was a Russian spy who then turned to the British side. So, this guy and his daughter, they were poisoned with this nerve agent, and they were found on a bench, basically, like Man United's midfield.
Hmm.
And they're in a stable condition right now, but Theresa May, she said, well, it's very much going to be the Russians who did this. Because who else would work with such a Cold War tactic? I mean, this is like James Bond poison kits. And the Russians were like, no, it's not really us. You know, we want to see what's happened here. Give us a sample of what this thing is, and then we can confirm or deny it. Huh. So basically what they're doing is they're just playing the, you know, it wasn't me, Shaggy.
We couldn't have done this, yeah.
Routine. So, you know, obviously there's a whole thing about the Russian World Cup football is happening. That's in June. And now Jose is being sort of like targeted as taking blood money because RT, the Russian news channel, that money comes straight out of blood's money.
Does it?
Oh, it's Russian funded. It's government funded. Yeah, but I mean,
that's like saying anything South African. So if someone crooked like Marcus Huerta offers you money, it means you can't do anything for South Africa. That sounds kind of crazy.
Well, Gareth, you know how these things work. Because people also believe that, further to your point, that this news network is very, obviously, pro-Russian agendas.
Well, yeah, they're a state propaganda arm. That's what they are. Oh,
exactly. So people are saying that Jose is taking the blood money because the Russians are doing dodgy things like poisoning spies in other countries.
Well, coaching a football team in the UK isn't taking blood money. It's like slave trade. Yeah,
you're the slave master.
Do me a favor.
I mean, Marcel, you go to press conferences with whips,
right,
and umbrellas.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's Jose. He's in a bit of a spot of bother. But do you think he really gives a toss?
No.
£1 million for 5 days' work.
Definitely not.
To basically sit in the studio and say, "Well, that guy's crap, and that guy's going all right."
Mm-hmm.
I would take that money.
Right.
I don't care where it comes from.
Bring it on.
Sounds like good work to me. Cricket, yeah. The Incompetent Cricket Council has released their latest rankings, which has Kagiso Rabada, the world's best bowler. He's on 902 ranking points, ahead of James Overratedson on 887. Ravindra Jadeja's dropped down to third,
James 844. Overratedson.
And Ashwin's on 803, and then Josh Hazlewood, 796. Those are your top five bowlers.
Okay.
Sia, here's a little question. Which of those five bowlers has been banned for nothing really in particular?
Kagiso Rabada.
Yes.
Thank you. I'll keep it at that and retain some dignity.
Steve Smith, who is a bit of a bitch, he's on top of the rankings there, 943 points for batting. Virat Kohli, who doesn't get any demerit points despite telling batsmen to piss off all the time, he's on 912. Then we've got Joe Root, 881. Kane Williamson on 855. And David Warner, who is 831. So, the test teams, the most popular test teams to the ICC, well, Australia just got up the rankings, but they're slightly behind England. Slightly behind India. Third place, of course, is England. And slipping down the popularity rankings because they don't give the ICC enough money, South Africa are down to 7th. Oh, these rankings are tough, aren't they? But that's the ICC for you. In rugby news, Quagga Smith has decided he will not go to the Commonwealth Games. He, of course, is a legend of the Blitzbox Sevens team, but he wants to concentrate on the 15-a-side game. You think where he is now. He's done everything he really can do in Sevens, but two things are going to happen with Quacker's career up until now. Oh, sorry, going forward. He's either going to get a big money European deal, or he's going to play for the Springboks. The latter shouldn't happen because he's just too short for the structure of the forward pack. That's not me saying that. That's just pretty much science. So he knows that he has a big season right now to basically ensure his career going forward, because there's not a lot of money in sevens rugby, and you work bloody hard, And you got to travel ridiculous schedules. Okay. So I can kind of see where he's going with that. Ernie Els and Tiger Woods have been named the President's Cup captains for the 2019 President's Cup. This will be taking place in Melbourne. And it's a really cool thing for the whole event because these two, of course, were big rivals back at the turn of the century. And who would ever forget? I love that sporting phrase because people forget things all the time. At the Lynx and Fan Court when these two were dueling it out as the sun was setting, 2003, and Gary Player was the captain of the President's team. Jack Nicklaus was the captain of the international team. Jack Nicklaus, the American team. And Gary, he stood there with a wide base and says, let's just call it a draw. We all winners today. And Ernie was like, yeah, fuck, man. I could have beaten that egg. And then Tiger was like, okay, cool. My jet's ready to go. These two will be captains again. And even though they're both past their prime, although Tiger's coming back a hell of a lot more than Ernie, but I think Ernie's different kind of life trajectory. 2019. What I really think is these two should just stay on for quite a while because this event needs the profile of these two players. Plus, in 2023, this event must come to Johannesburg. It just must. Hmm. That's one of my life ambitions here, to bring this event here.
All right. Good luck, Ben.
And that's pretty much about it. Sundowns beat Yesia Bees wow. in the Nedbank Cup.
You're making this up now. You might as well just leave it out.
Yeah. Look, there isn't a whole bunch more. There really isn't. I'll get into like rugby and all that kind of stuff tomorrow.
Okay. I know you don't like Tuesdays and Wednesdays from a sports point of view.
Well, sometimes you just join the dots with soccer matches, aren't you? Like the Besiktas and Bayern Munich. After that, I still don't know who's playing in this thing, actually. I might as well tell you.
All right, here's something interesting. You remember we spoke about that...
Sorry, Gareth. It's Barcelona and Chelsea. That is a big game.
Okay.
4-10 tonight.
That's worth interrupting.
They're currently on an even playing field, too.
Remember on Monday we were talking about Katy Perry and that nun who...
died in court.
She died in court trying to defend the sale of the monastery to Katy Perry.
Yes, the court ruled that Katy Perry can buy the convent, and the nuns were very upset.
That's right. She's a nun from Los Feliz, Sister Catherine Rose Holtzman. So she was in court to give evidence in a case of trying to block the sale of her convent to Katy Perry. But shortly after stepping into the courtroom, she collapsed and died. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Her final words, do you want to know what they were?
Oh, no. I know. I kissed the nun and I liked it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
No.
She must have called out to the big guy upstairs.
Her final words.
Oh, no.
Katy Perry, please stop.
Oh, shame.
All right, Sia, what do you got for us? No, really.
Oh, shame. Oh, man, that's going to haunt her for the rest of her life. Anyway, some good news for this morning on Set by Sia. A 16-year-old...
Hey, Sia, what does a sassy horse eat?
What?
Hey!
Idiot.
All right, go. Next. Go on.
Why are we so stupid?
Sorry,
and gaudy?
It's ridiculous.
Okay, I like that. Don't worry, I did. A 16-year-old is doing amazing things in San Diego by actually helping the homeless in his city. His name is Kevin Barber, and his age really hasn't stopped him from making amazing change. So he's the instigator behind a project called Wheels for Change, which is a 6-month pilot program that was launched in his hometown. Now, the program itself pays homeless residents $11.50 an hour to perform daytime labor shifts around the city, like picking up trash and erasing graffiti around. Alpha Project, the organization that starts the program with him, then helps connect the workers with social workers, housing, and financial advisors. So this actually is a 360-degree program. This is what I love the most. This 16-year-old was actually inspired by a TED talk where he heard about something similar and he thought, oh, I could actually do this. So the premise of the program is pretty simple. Several days a week, there's a van that goes around the city and picks up willing homeless people who express an interest in working. So the van takes them around the city where they do things like pulling weeds or clearing a bush. And at the end of the day, these workers will be driven back to the Alpha Project or to the city's new tent structures for the homeless and will be compensated for their work. So here they may also get some shelter arranged. So I like that this idea actually is ticking a lot of boxes. Firstly, you're helping people that just deserve the help. Secondly, it's actually giving them jobs as well. So they're earning a bit of salary. And then thirdly, I think you're going around, you're making a difference and you're doing some good. So the 16-year-old Kevin Barber doing this in his city makes me wonder, really, what could we start to do to make a change where we live? So I like it, being inspired by TED Talk and now actually giving homeless in his city a job. So kudos to you, Kevin Barber. And that's your Said by Sia for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. All right, there it is. 8 minutes to 7 o'clock early in the morning. We got some big guests this week. Yesterday, in case you missed it, Jeremy Thompson of Sky News, the guy who used to do the afternoon news on Sky, probably one of the most famous news people of the last 20 years, covered major events like Kosovo, South Africa, the first Gulf War. He really got out there and put himself in the way of danger to bring stories to us at a time when that wasn't what journalists did. Remember, that only really became a thing with Sky News. They were the first people to be on the scene, to do the shows live from wherever the action was.
Live crossing.
Yeah. Mm. He was in the Balkans, and that was where they first tried that in the 90s. Anyway, fascinating stories if you want to hear what Jeremy Thompson had to say. See, the point is you don't have time in your day to read long articles to... And you should read his book. It's called Breaking News. But in case you don't have time, you can listen to the interview. That's what's nice about podcasts, is they fit into your day.
You know, this interview, Gareth, was good and it was bad in many ways. Good because this guy is incredible, but bad on your side. I mean,
okay.
I often wonder, is your head still in the game that you could interview someone with the title of Breaking News and you do not start with a dinosaur clip?
You know what, Ben? It would have been kind of ridiculous, but I agree. All right, let's just put it in there.
Seriously, how the hell that interview did not start with that? I mean,
a good point, well made, Ben.
Oh, thanks,
Mike. See, my buddy agrees with you.
Yeah.
All right. So Jeremy Thompson, then we've got Jordan Peterson tomorrow. He's probably the most famous academic in the world right now. We talk about Stephen Hawking, who died this morning. But Jordan Peterson, in a totally different field, is just as interesting, is making just as much noise, and right at the moment, he's a bit of a celebrity on the internet as well. So you want to hear what he had to speak about? He's written a book, great book, cannot recommend this enough. It's called 12 Rules for Life. If you have a kid, if you have a child between the age of probably about 9, 10, right the way up to 20. Give them this book. It'll make your life as a parent better. It'll make their lives better, and they'll end up having meaningful, purposeful interactions with the universe. Really, I can't recommend this enough. Little things. He says, stand up straight and face the world with strength. Don't cower in the corner. He says body language matters. The words you use matter. Speak truth, or at least, he says, don't lie. At least don't lie. I mean, it's just really, really powerful, practical stuff that people can do to start making their lives meaningful. And there's so many young people in the world today who, they want to change the world, they want to make a difference, but they can't even sort themselves out. How are you going to make a difference if your own cup is empty? So he says that he can help you to reach that point where you're able to start making a difference to the world and start improving your own life and those the lives of others, people you care about. So it's a very worthwhile book. That's tomorrow, Jordan Peterson. And a big interview. I still can't give away anything, but there'll be a very, very well-known, world-famous celebrity joining us here on CliffCentral.com.
I'm guessing it's Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington. That would be big.
What is wrong with you?
I watched the funniest thing the other day. What's this movie with Marlon Wayans where he does like a 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, it's called 50 Shades of Black.
Jesus, this was a funny movie. I know a lot of people don't like the Wayans and they think that they're cheesy and corny and slapstick. Yes,
do you know
I loved this movie. This was better than anything Meryl Streep's ever been in.
I love that the talent and the clout of Denzel Washington's name reminded you.
Because I hardly watch any movies, right? And then when you mentioned a great actor like Denzel, I did immediately think of great actor Marlon Wayans, because he is great. The Wayans brothers are terrific. Come on. I'll take anyone on who says they're not. They're amazing.
Okay.
There's also about 50 of them, which is great.
Yes.
And a sister.
Yes, there's a sister as well.
Yeah, so, they are like the Goliaths of America.
So Marlon Wayans is Christian Black. And he finds this girl and he like ties her up and whips her and she whips him. And it's all just hilarious. The funniest scene is where she says she's a virgin. So he takes off her clothes and she's got really hairy legs and like a big hairy bush. The things that happen are just, it's just great. It's so great. I love the Wayans. Those guys are my spirit animals. I'm telling you. Just love them. Everything they do on screen is hilarious to me. Maybe I'm the only one, but damn, I love those guys. All right. We've got to get to our news for the morning. We've got a guest popping by. This is actually quite a story. I got an email from someone, and he wants to discuss fathers and their access to children. Now, that might not sound interesting, but he actually has a girlfriend, wife, who's very high profile.
Okay.
The story is, he sent me an email to tell me. He was a stay-at-home dad, and his partner ripped the children out of his life. He was woken up by the police on a Saturday morning with automatic weapons in his face to serve him a protection order, which was subsequently thrown out of court. He has not seen his son since the day the police arrived. And he says the order was fabricated and amazingly without any evidence attached to it, a woman is still able to get this kind of issue, this order, kind of order issued against a man. Basically completely made up. And he wants to talk about men's rights and what fathers go through when situations like this develop. Because we always hear the story of, you know, how the men are the douchebags and they just leave the wife and the wife has to raise the kid on their own. And here's a father who really wants to have a relationship with his son. And this just very traumatic separation of him and his son by the partner has left him in a very, very bad place.
Yeah, we have a family member who got divorced recently. And before the divorce was finalized, his biggest concern was that the courts were automatically going to favor the mother's demands when it came to the children.
And they usually do.
And we spoke to a couple of legal experts and they told us that no, there has been improvement in that regard from the court's perspective. They don't necessarily automatically favor the mother. And he then went through the process of speaking to social workers who then made recommendations to the family court in terms of some of the mother's demands. And essentially the court came back and they said, you know, they said to the mother, you're insane. You're making ridiculous demands. You and this man will have shared custody of these children. So I'd love to hear from the legal experts and social workers how much of a change has happened in that regard. Because I think the perception is still definitely that mothers are automatically favored.
Well, that's what I heard happens. And we'll find out from him what his story is just now. But it sounds like a hell of a dramatic story. So if you want to hear some real life drama, that's coming up. Also some news and plenty more. I asked Balesa to choose a couple of songs for us for this week because, you know, I'm constantly getting criticized when I have to choose the music. So I thought, well, let Balesa send us something. So here's what she's given us to listen to this morning. And when we come back, news, your calls, your WhatsApps, your thoughts, your ideas, whatever it is you want to contribute. And we've got loads of things to tell you about. All on the way.
This is CliffCentral.com.